Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts with a look at California agricultural news. The Almond Board of California is praising the United Kingdom's announcement that it will suspend tariffs for at least 2 years on raw kernel and in-shell almonds from the U.S. and other countries. The tariffs at 4% on in-shell almonds and 2% on raw kernels have been in place since the U.K. left the European Union in 2021. They are to be lifted this Thursday, April 11th. The tariff suspension is expected to save U.K. almond importers about $4 million a year, allowing them to offer more competitive prices on raw California almonds to U.K. processors and ultimately to consumers. State and federal water providers have increased promised allocations after accounting for recent storms that improved snowpack and reservoir levels. The California Department of Water Resources doubled the amount of water it expects to deliver this year to most contractors that rely on the state water project from 15 to 30% of requested supplies. The U.S. Bureau of Reclamation increased Central Valley project allocations for south of Delta agricultural water users from 15 to 35% of their contracted allotment and from 75 to 100% for those north of the Delta. The supply of California strawberries has evened out. They have a steady supply demand stream now that Florida and central Mexico have ceased harvesting, according to Michelle DeLisics of Jim Pack Berries. She adds that its production yields have been high due to warmer than usual winter and early spring temperatures, saying although they've seen a lot of rain and rain continues, the temperatures were generally warm and the plants responded with strong production. The seasons along the central coast started on time and will continue harvesting into the fall. Right now, harvest is underway in Oxnard and Santa Maria, with Oxnard approaching peak season in the next few weeks. Meanwhile, Santa Maria is about 3 weeks behind Oxnard, and Watsonville Salinas are just getting started. There's also industry production in Baja in northern Mexico. On the demand side, it's steady and responsive to spring promotions, with consumers showing they're ready for spring berries, according to the company. As for pricing, a few weeks ago, prices were low due to oversupply, with berries still shipping out of central Mexico and Florida. Now that these two regions have stopped harvesting, remaining regions' production is meeting demand instead of exceeding, and pricing is starting to become more consistent too, she says. Looking ahead, Jim Pack Berries expects to have volume matched with good quality, with Oxnard and Santa Maria ramping up strongly and Watsonville Salinas moving into more steady production. She says they're quickly approaching peak season for California, and she says they're ready. In the annual trends report published by the California chapter of the American Society of Farm Managers and Rural Appraisers, records show a downtrend in ag real estate values that began within the past year. This comes on the heels of higher lending rates and dismal commodity prices from popular crops like almonds and walnuts. What was characterized in the trends report as a mostly stable and resilient agricultural land market in 2022 has changed abruptly in the first quarter of 2023, according to the report. Irrigation water availability and the California Sustainable Groundwater Management Act are also showing up in lower land prices. All combined, the cracks in the agricultural economy led to several bankruptcy filings that included large investor-owned farm holdings in Central California. Almond orchards that once commanded over $60,000 an acre in parts of the state are slumped, as did others. Such was not the case for pistachios, which have never been higher. Since 2020, land values for pistachios in the Central San Joaquin Valley continued a significant climb, raising from about $45,000 on average to $65,000 per acre in 2023, surpassing a flattening curve in the South San Joaquin Valley. Almonds are another story. What peaked for many between 2020 and 2022 has now fallen, some more than others, according to the report. In the northern San Joaquin Valley, almond land values peaked at $55,000 per acre over the past several years, with outliers in the low $60,000 range. Rural appraisers say the underlying land values haven't suffered as much as the value of the almonds planted to them, which in the past several years have gone from profitable to unprofitable margins. Coastal irrigated cropland from Ventura to Monterey spiked in value as the value of prime Napa and Sonoma vineyards continues to know no ceiling, even as groundwater pumping remains restrictive. And while post-pandemic wine sales continue to slump, and industry leaders like Jeff Bitter with Allied Grape Growers Association calls for significant removals of wine grapes statewide to balance supply with demand, Napa County prime vineyard values now have exceeded $525,000, with similar vineyards in Sonoma County selling for as much as $215,000. Strong market demand remained in 2023 for prime Napa vineyards, but with limited activity. The Riverside County Office of the Agricultural Commissioner Board of Supervisors confirmed the appointment of Delia Jimenez-Siak as the agency's first female commissioner, according to county officials. With a true passion for agriculture and public service, they look forward to working closely with her to support and innovate the county's agricultural sector, according to Board Chairman Chuck Washington. Siak replaces longtime Commissioner Ruben Arroyo, who recently retired. Siak was hired to work at the commissioner's office straight out of college in 2004 after earning a Bachelor of Science degree in Agricultural Biology at Cal Poly Pomona. She was Assistant Agricultural Commissioner prior to being appointed to the top spot. She has also worked as the Supervising Agricultural and Standards Investigator and Deputy Agricultural Commissioner. The Office of the Agricultural Commissioner oversees weights and measures, pest control programs, and a host of inspection duties tied to farming, ranching, and produce production and distribution in general, some of which are under her state contract. Students for Eco Education and Agriculture, the nonprofit that organizes Santa Barbara County Farm Day and Ventura County Farm Day, is looking for farmers, agriculture-related businesses, and others to become event sponsors and participants. The 2024 Santa Barbara County Farm Day will be on August 24th, while the Ventura County Farm Day will be on November 2nd. Each year on Farm Day, sponsoring farms and ag-related businesses open their doors to the public. They offer tours, tastings, and produce and product giveaways. Other sponsors have booths at the Farm Day Hub and are included in Farm Day marketing campaigns. For Farm Day participation and sponsorship details, log on to SantaBarbaraCountyFarmDay.com and or VenturaCountyFarmDay.com. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has announced that Paramar Incorporated, doing business as D. DeFranco & Sons, satisfied a $31,200 reparation order issued under the Perishable Agricultural Commodities Act involving unpaid produce transactions. The Los Angeles, California company has met its obligations and is now free to operate in the produce industry. Gerald S. DeFranco, Paul F. DeFranco, and Richard J. DeFranco were listed as the officers, directors, and or major stakeholders of the business and may now be employed by or affiliated with any PACA licensee. PACA provides an administrative forum to handle disputes involving produce transactions. This may result in USDA's issuance of a reparation order that requires damages to be paid by those not meeting their contractual obligations in buying and selling fresh and frozen fruits and vegetables.
By partnering with JCS Marketing Incorporated, your company can achieve 3.5 million impressions to growers, consultants, and industry professionals annually. Our comprehensive media suite, which includes prestigious publications as well as dynamic websites, targeted emails, engaging podcasts, and premier trade shows, provides a strategic platform for targeting key decision makers. This approach can amplify your company's visibility to a specific audience and fosters meaningful connections, positioning your brand at the forefront of the agricultural community. Don't wait for success to come to you. Call our office today at 559-352-4456. That's 559-352-4456. One of the leading blueberry nurseries in the country, California Berry Genetics, announced recently the rollout of three exclusive varieties to commercial growers. The Duchess varieties, coined Early Duchess, Blue Duchess, and Sweet Duchess, are high-yield blueberries that are mechanically harvestable, keeping labor costs and food safety in mind during the operation. Greg Willem, owner of California Berry Genetics.
All of us know that with inflation and different things and labor going up, that we need something that's mechanical. I think a big attribute is a food safety issue. You know, there's not a lot of people touching the fruit. It's mechanical. You can sterilize your harvester, predictability on quality, getting the fruit off in time, shortage of labor. So we feel for all the way from the farmer to the store, to the consumer, that having a machine harvestable piece of fruit, especially blueberries, being as healthy as they are, helps a whole chain of events that fruit's going to go through. So I just think it's got a lot going for it. And I think that the machine harvest down the road is going to be where it's at. I mean, you look at tomatoes in the Sacramento Valley in the 70s and 80s, you know, they've gone now to mechanical harvest. It's just simply covering the ground in a matter of time. And you've got a weather storm to come in, you can throw the harvest machines in there and you can just get it harvested and pick a lot of pounds. I run about 12 harvest machines So I can pick up to about 800 to 900,000 pounds of fruit in a day. So that's something that is good. We also do hand pick for certain select customers that want that. So, but we love having that option. It takes the pressure off of us.
California Berry Genetics over the next 2 years will be releasing 5 new commercial blueberry varieties that possess an extra large size, thick skin, crunchy texture, and an outstanding flavor. Their newest blueberry seedling program was developed by renowned University of Georgia horticulturist Scott Naismith. Naismith was the head of the UGA blueberry breeding program for over 20 years. And many berries developed through Naismith's work are known for being blue to the stem, an attribute that Willem finds to be important for several reasons.
Some cultivars, when you turn the berry over, can be kind of reddish or sour or green. And then you, when you bring it to the packing house, you have to separate that fruit out and throw it away or put it for a secondary use. So I think that Scott's genetics were bred, so they're blue to the stem. So you get a higher pack out. I find that varieties that are blue to the stem are much firmer and they tend to have a little bit better shelf life. So that's one of the objectives of our breeding program. Obviously, the jumbo craze in the blueberry industry of having large, colossal size blueberries is definitely a trend that we see that's going to be a big part of it. You know, people love to buy big, juicy, plump blueberries and they're willing to spend a little bit more money if they want something that's much larger and they can use it for any other culinary stuff. So size is definitely something we're looking at. Machine harvestability. A lot of breeders don't look at this, but I look at the bloom of the fruit. The bloom of the fruit is you know, it's the fruit's natural protected against the elements like sun and wind and other things like that. So it's kind of like the fruit having some sunscreen. So we think that that's a big important part of protecting the berry, and Scott's just done an amazing job of getting that in his genetic stock. So that's been great. We look at, so through UGA, which is University of Georgia, we look at about anywhere from 5 to 15,000 individual varieties annually in our climate, which makes it all the way from a farm perspective, all the way into the packaging. And so we look at all that.
Willem said California Berry Genetics will also be looking at a whole new group of seedlings from UGA and are anticipating multiple early season selections that would replace similar varieties already grown in California.
You know, this is the year where everything on the breeding side is going to come together. And we'll be looking at 3 separate years of families, which will probably be about 25 to 27 separate families of variety crosses. So it's pretty incredible.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Jahlstrom. Early registration for the 2024 Crop Consultant Conference, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors, is now open. The popular event for certified crop advisors, pest control advisors, grower applicators, and industry professionals is the mainstay for all continuing education needs this year and will take place on September 25th and 26th at the Visalia Convention Center. Visit myaglife.com/events for the early discounted rate of $275 per person, which includes the live conference, a trade show with 70-plus exhibits, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. We'll see you there.
Using a roundtable discussion in Mankato, Minnesota as a backdrop, yesterday, USDA Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack announced $1.5 billion available this year for groups under the Regional Conservation Partnership Program. USDA announced the funding, the most in the program's history, is available for partner-driven conservation and climate solutions under President Joe Biden's Investing in America agenda. Groups have through July 2nd to apply for the funding under the Regional Conservation Partnership Program. The RCPP was created in a 2014 Farm Bill as a way to fund watershed-scale conservation projects, typically including both public and private groups, to enroll in those projects and provide technical assistance. With a March 26 Baltimore bridge collapse, supply chain concerns are running high as U.S. officials are having to make mitigation decisions. Of those is diverting cargo ships to East Coast ports. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg.
It is an important port and an important system of the East Coast ports. Now, a lot of the goods that come on or off there go as part of runs where ships also visit the ports of New York and New Jersey and Virginia. And so right now, I think there are already diversions taking place to those and other East Coast ports, helping to absorb some of that need.
At stake is import and exports of farm machinery, fertilizers, and some commodities, along with cars.
This is an important port for both imports and exports, and it's America's largest vehicle handling port, which is important not only for car imports and exports, but also for farm equipment.
As for commodities that are affected at the Baltimore port, they include sugar, soybeans, grains, and coffee. And 2023 data shows that Maryland registered over 1.3 million tons of roll-on, roll-off tractors, combines, and hay balers at the port. This situation has led to a meeting of the White House Supply Disruption Task Force and other ag industry representatives to further discuss mitigation strategies. The Center for Biological Diversity has sued the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, claiming a federal agency has failed to make decisions regarding Endangered Species Act protections for four species of bees. In a lawsuit filed with the U.S. District Court for the District of Arizona and Tucson, the nonprofit organization claimed more than 89,000 members seeked final determinations on petitions filed by conservation groups. In its suit, the center claimed that more than half of assessed native bees are suffering from declining populations. In a 2017 report on the status of all North American and Hawaiian native bees, the nonprofit found that for bee species for which sufficient data was available, nearly one in four was imperiled at an increasing risk of extinction. The analysis cited habitat loss, pesticide use, and climate change as the primary drivers of population declines. Technology use in restaurants is accelerating, creating new touch points between restaurants and the consumers they serve, according to the National Restaurant Association's Restaurant Technology Landscape Report 2024. The report identifies the varying expectations that consumers have regarding technology, depending on whether they are dining at a full-service restaurant or ordering delivery to their homes, as well as generational differences and preferences. Key highlights from the report include 55% of operators are planning investments to improve their service areas, while 60% are looking for technology that will enhance the customer experience. 16% of operators plan to invest in artificial intelligence integration in 2024. 82% of Gen Z adults are comfortable placing an order at a limited service restaurant with a smartphone app. 65% of all adult consumers would be comfortable paying their check at a full-service restaurant with a computer tablet at the table. Restaurant operators are getting creative on how they expand technology offerings, paying close attention to consumer preferences, but generational differences persist. When asked how likely they'd be to interact with a tablet at the table, a solid majority of Gen Z adults, millennials, and Gen Xers say they'd use these options, but fewer than half of baby boomers said they would. As for full service and limited service options and the use of technology in the delivery segment, consumers expect to be able to access, order, customize, and pay for delivery orders through their computers or smartphones, and if they can't, they said they will order from somewhere else. The recent collapse of a bridge at the entry point of a major U.S. port could lead to potential issues for parts of the nation's ag supply chain, USA Ag News reporter Rod Bain.
How might the recent closure of access to the Port of Baltimore, Maryland from a bridge collapse impact ag-based supply chains, imports, and exports? Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg recently told reporters,
"This is an important port for both imports and exports, and it's America's largest vehicle handling port, which is important not only for car imports and exports, but also for farm equipment."
With the state of Maryland listing over 1.3 million tons of roll-on and roll-out tractors, combines, and hay balers in 2023. In addition, farm and food commodities such as sugar, soybeans, grains, and coffee are imported and exported at the Port of Baltimore. That has led to dialogue over the past week to address potential supply chain disruptions and mitigation strategies. That included a meeting in that time frame of the White House Supply Chain Disruption Task Force and members of the ag sector. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
For the 11th consecutive year, all U.S. Walmart stores and Sam's Clubs are teaming up with our customers, members, suppliers, and associates for the annual Fight Hunger, Spark Change campaign to support the Feeding America network of partner food banks. Since its inception in 2014, Fight Hunger, Spark Change has generated more than $186 million for Feeding America and local food banks, helping to secure nearly 1.9 billion meals for people facing hunger. The campaign will run online and in stores now through April 29th.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.